Russ and I, before you guys got on, were just singing some of our favorite Beatles songs.
Which we cannot do on the show because we will get sued into oblivion.
Well, oh, no.
It's actually not a problem. It's actually not a problem because we can just tweak the lyrics.
Oh, no.
And so it won't be like a big problem. So like I might be like, ding, 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 ding. I am the sea pig.
Yep.
You are the sea pig. I am the sea pig. Doo doo be doo. Something like that. What's another one?
Hey, Scrooge. Good.
Yeah.
You're on a mountain.
Hey, Scrooge.
You could do like number six. Number six.
Oh yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Number.
That's good.
No, it wasn't. What about the dong and hiney toad? Come on,
it's good.
Yeah, it's a little puerile humor for you.
Yeah, I love that shit. I crave that shit. Jessica Phillips picks up the rice in the building where wedding has been.
That's good.
I like that.
This is good. We're really tapping into our Gen Z audience right here.
Yeah, our
Zillennials. We could be like, not paperback writer. If you just add not in front of it.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Then they can't prove in court that you were talking about
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I did. You can't say I didn't play a game this week.
You say hello, and I say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Hello. My name is Christopher Plant, and I know the best game of the week.
What was that, Justin?
I was just trying to skip you.
Justin forgot you were here, Russell.
Remind me, Russ. Make me feel your presence.
My name is Russ Brushick, and I know the best Beatles song of the week.
Hello, and welcome to the Beatles. The Beatles 2, this time about video games. It's the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. We have come a long way since Pac-Man, but not such a long way since Mario. Which I decided I would get in front of the violence. Today we're talking about Paper Mario Origami King. I decided I would get ahead of the violence of hearing Russ say Mario all the time. By I will say it also.
I noticed
and maybe
that.
Maybe I'll get acclimated.
I noticed
to it.
That. I was so happy.
Sort of taking it out for a walk. How did it treat you, Justin? You've done it a couple times now.
A acrid mouthfeel is, yeah. is what I would say.
Pungent.
Don't love it. I'll
so,
be honest.
What did you think of Popper Mario?
Popper Mario is, this is like, I don't know. Okay, I'll just tell you. My experience with Popper Mario has the Origami King, has been one where I have constantly felt on the cusp of it clicking for me. Mm-hmm. Like, right, like almost like I'm about to get into a groove with this, and then it just can't quite get there. The mechanics for me are just too simplistic to really draw me in. They have stripped out so many of the RPG kind of mechanics to leave something that's neither RPG nor sort of like an action game.
It's for sure its own thing. Yeah.
It's its own thing.
Can we start a little earlier and just like give people a rundown on like what this game is really quick?
I think we can thread sort of both things that we were just talking about in that Paper Mario has become its own sort of genre that I feel like you really can't go into this expecting a Mario and Luigi RPG game. And that covers like Superstar Saga, Bowser's Inside Story, the time travel one where they teamed up with them with their baby selves. Mm-hmm. Like those were RPGs in the vein of Well, they're their own vein, right? Like, those establish, like, their own thing.
I was going to say, I think there is, like, a splitting point, right? So Paper Mario as a franchise started originally on the, what was it, N64?
N64, right.
So it started originally on the N64, and it was an RPG. No question about it. It had all the, like, makings of an RPG with, like, you know, mana points and hit points and everything that you expect from an RPG. And they made two of those. They made the first Paper Mario, and they made Paper Mario Thousand Year Door on the GameCube. And then there was a splitting point, and the Paper Mario franchise sort of, the RPG franchise sort of morphed into Mario & Luigi, which was on the handheld, like Game Boy 3DS and stuff like that.
And those games are great. Bowser's great Inside Story came out, I think, on 3DS, weirdly, last year.
Yeah.
And that game holds up. It's very clever. Those games are hilarious, and like they have pretty solid RPG mechanics. But yeah, Super Paper Mario was on the Wii, and that's kind of where it started to go in more this like weird platformer adventure
family
turn-based combat family game. Yeah. And then with Color Splash, which was that Wii U? I forget what Color Splash came out on. Color Splash, and then Sticker Star in the 3DS, and now Origami King. Like, it's its own fucking thing that does, like, there is turn-based combat, but it is, actually, no, wait, that's not even true anymore with Origami King. Now it's weird puzzle-based combat. I didn't like this game. I don't care for the new Paper Mario games, which is heartbreaking because I adore the, like, traditional Mario and Luigi RPG games. Because I think the word I would use to describe Origami King and Color Splash and Sticker Star is just gimmicky, which I like. I don't think translates the same way that it does for other video games. I mean it like in this game, the combat feels like a one-trick pony, and the exploration feels like a one-trick pony. The whole world is made out of paper, and I feel like you really have to think that that is extremely cool and entertaining to get anything out of Origami King.
I mean, it is cool.
It's cool, it is.
The visuals are very cool.
But not so much that I was spending the whole game going like, whoa, paper waterfall, man. You have a button where you can throw confetti out to like fill in these like holes in the papier-mâché environment. And sometimes it'll reveal little hidden things, and sometimes it'll just like allow you to go up a staircase that you couldn't go up before. And that mechanic of like getting confetti and pressing a button to fill in a hole in the environment is not fun the first time that you do it, and then like continues to not be fun and actually gets like kind of annoying when you're like, oh fuck, I'm out of confetti, but I need to make this staircase, so I guess I'll go hit some trees with my hammer. Like, it's just it's so shallow, and it everything feels like somebody had an idea but like didn't think of a way to like make it mean anything outside of just pressing a button to make confetti come out.
Yeah, I think that the confetti thing that you're talking about is the perfect thing to kind of like drill into, because I think you can compare it to Luigi's Mansion, right? Which also has a thing that could be very tedious and boring, which is the vacuum mechanic. It's easy to imagine a world in which a video game developer is like, okay, yeah, you press this button and then you spam it until the thing is caught in your vacuum. And the Nintendo magic is adding everything around it, that it feels good doing it, that the entire world, you know, is impacted by the vacuum, that you're like wrestling with the ghost to make it work. And I can see a world, I hate doing like, how would I have designed this game? I could see a world where this game probably had more investment, where there was something more pleasurable than just spamming a button and waiting for the spray confetti animation to repeat itself three times before a hole is filled. And then also waiting for the load animation of that new confetti floor to turn into normal ground, where somebody along the way is saying, okay, we quite simply cannot do this unless it is extremely pleasurable, because you're going to be doing it the whole game. I think the same applies to the combat, which I'll let somebody... Fresh, do you want to try to explain the combat?
Okay, so the combat is basically the best I can describe it. It's a slide puzzle. Traditionally, slide puzzles are like 3x3, you know, blocks. But here you're rotating rings and shifting enemies around to basically line them up. And if you line up enemies in the right way, you get a big bonus in damage. You can basically one-shot all the enemies on the board. The problem is that puzzle that you're solving does not change for like 99% of the fights you do. So you end up doing the same slide puzzle over and over and over again, about 100 times before you get to any variation, which are the boss fights, which are quite good. I actually enjoyed the boss fights, but almost every other fight in the game is the same slide puzzle with slight variations of like, oh, the enemies are here instead of here. But generally it's the same thing. And you have no, Do you have no choice? I mean, the big thing that I like about the like classic Paper Mario RPGs and the Mario and Luigi RPGs is you're making choices of saying like, oh, I'm going to use this power and I have to like, you know, play this little mini game to like get the most damage and stuff like that. And oh, this is going to cost a lot of mana points, but it's going to be worth it because it's going to knock everyone out. And here, the number of choices you have are really limited. All you can do is like, well, do I want to hammer or I want to stomp on a guy? Do I want to use my slightly more powerful boots or the less powerful boots? Like, the choices are not interesting.
Those choices are also prescribed
answers
based on how you arrange enemies on this circular arena. Because most of the time, the puzzles, if you want to think of them that way, enemies show up on this field in groups of four because those you have four enemies in one of the chosen patterns, which is a straight line out from the center where you're standing, and then you can jump on them for maximum damage, or you can arrange them in a 2x2 square right next to the center of the arena where you're at. If you do it that way, you can hit them with the hammer. So really, it's not much of a choice. You're just arranging them based on the solution to the puzzle, and then doing the attack that is, then is what you do based on the shape that you made that they like that was the correct answer. It's not good.
I just want to add one more irritant to the combat thing is that in addition to not being able to choose whether or not you use your hammer or your boots really for jumping, you also have these like upgraded versions of the boots and the hammer. Something that should feel cool, but instead they're consumable items where if you use them a few times, they break and then you have to go get more. And you have so much money that it's not an issue to go buy more. It's just like you have to go trek back and buy more disposable shoes and hammer to use on the enemies. And it's so just like it's not fun. Like you get a better hammer that should feel good. It doesn't because every time you use it, you're like, well, it's going to break soon, so I got to go back and use another one. It's like very unpleasurable.
So here's kind of where my head is at with this game. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time dunking on it because it is not great. And I say not great, I know that we had mixed feelings on Last of Us and on Ghost of Tsushima, right? But those games are like well made and moment to moment enjoyable. Even if I like have serious issues with the story of Last of Us or that I found Ghost of Tsushima overly familiar, I can still play Ghost of Tsushima for like 40 hours and like burn my time. And there's like still like meat on the bone in terms of what to talk about critically. Y'all, this game is just kind of a mediocre game. Like it is, there's not a lot to even break down with it. I guess I'm saying this because I've seen this from, I've heard this feedback from our listeners, and I definitely feel it too of like, it's almost like draining to like have to talk, to dunk on a game like this. So I'm curious, was there anything that you liked? And also beyond that, like, what great Mario game can people play on the Switch that isn't this one, right?
Yeah, I will compliment most of the writing is bland. Some of the writing is very funny.
Yes.
And the tone overall is like pleasant. It's a little bit sardonic, not as hard as some of these games have leaned before. Like it's not like knowing wink wink, but there's just like you rescue these toads that are stuck in the environment by hitting with a hammer or pulling them out of the ground. Like they're folded up and you have to unfold them by hitting them or pulling them out. And some of them have some pretty good lines. In fact, most of them I would say are like at least like pleasant, and some are genuinely very funny. There was one where a paper toad had been folded into a grasshopper, and I hit him with my hammer to turn him back to a toad, and he said, I was a grasshopper for 30 minutes and I didn't learn anything. I don't know why that one really hit my funny spot, but there's some good like little story and character moments like that.
And I also wanted to mention, like, I think the boss fight, it takes you like 5 hours to get to the first boss fight, which is a little bit odd. But once you get to the boss fight, it's actually really, like, I found it actually quite engaging. It changes.
Did you describe the mechanics of that?
So it's boss fight? Also a slide puzzle, so don't think it's that drastic. But it's mechanically completely different, where instead of lining enemies up, you're basically building a path for Mario to follow as he approaches like the boss, and each boss has like different points. So the first boss you fight is like a big turtle, and you have to like hit all its feet and its tail to like make it flip over to expose the weak point. So doing those steps and like making choices of like how the path is going to go, I found really interesting and very satisfying when you actually do pull it off and you do like a lot of damage on the boss. So there are good ideas in this game. They're just not a lot of them.
The bosses are also, what is it, the Legion of Stationery or something like that? And the I'm not ruining anything that's like not in the trailers. And the first boss that you fight is a container of colored pencils that like launches the colored pencils at you like a rocket launcher. Like, that's fucking cool. Like, it's the Lego Movie like crazy glue being like this artifact of power, like this item of, in this world of paper, here's a stapler that is like a demigod. Like, that's great, that's cool, that's entertaining. The reason I don't feel as bad about like dunking on this game is because there is so much history, and there are so many examples of this exact idea being done like really, really well. You mentioned the toads, and that is like for fans of like Paper Mario games and Mario and Luigi RPGs. Like, I remember around the time Sticker Star came out, like this frustration came about, which is like most of the characters in this game, most of the interactions that you have are with toads. This game is like, the characters in this game are like 98% toads, and not like the kind of fun, colorful cast of characters that you would get from a different game, from a different developer. And it's just, it's kind of boring. Like, you don't get a lot. The new characters you get are Olivia, who is your sprightly companion who doesn't, I feel like, have much character to her whatsoever, and then the Origami King himself, who is also like not that exciting. The best character I have experienced in this game is a fucking box of colored pencils who was very cool, but I don't know, I feel like it's very homogenous.
I should just mention, as you get deeper into the game, there are new party members that join you. So like right after that first boss, there's actually like a Ba-Bomb who joins your party and actually appears in fights and slightly changes the way fights play out. So there are other characters, but it takes a while to get there. So Plant had the question about which other Mario games to play on the Switch. I'm actually not going to recommend a Mario game. I am going to recommend a quasi Paper Mario game.
Ooh. I think I talked about this.
And Griffin has talked about it, and it's called Bug Fables. And it is 100% designed with the mindset of Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. That era of Paper Mario RPG is Bug Fables. Obviously, it doesn't have the Mario franchise or anything behind it. But if you want to sort of relive that era, yeah, it's called Bug Fables. It's on Switch. It's on PC. I think it might be on other consoles. Definitely check that out, because it definitely checks that box.
It's terrific.
Good try. Wrong answer. The best Mario RPG on Nintendo Switch is Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, Tokyo, 2020.
Go fuck off.
It is. No, it's good, and it has RPG mechanics, and it's full of joyful surprises.
What are the RPG mechanics?
Have you not played it?
No, I haven't played Mario and Sonic.
Okay, so no, we're going to save this for a very special episode sometime in the future, because this game is truly bizarre and the Olympics aren't actually happening right now. So right. I will make sure that you actually play this. It is a deeply weird swing and maybe a miss at some of the Atlas stuff of like Mario sports games. It is a game where somebody was like, I don't know, here's a whole bunch of money and way too much time. Just keep adding things until we tell you to stop. And then they released it. It's wonderful. Also, you can see like their feet, and they look so weird.
Is it like on some Camelot level RPG, like the Mario Golf games? Like, is that
it's
what you're talking about?
It's not full story like that. It's like a mishmash. It's like a whole bunch of different things all at once.
I played it.
I'll share it with you.
It's anyway. Anyone else have any other Mario games that actually?
I mean, Mario Odyssey is really good.
Yeah,
God, I've actually had a weird itching to go back and play Mario Odyssey.
Me too, man.
These two subpar Mario games that we've been, I was about to say enjoying, but that's not the right word. Something like enjoying.
What was the other one? Galaxy, you mean?
Galaxy 2.
Galaxy 2 is good.
Okay, I mean, lots of things are good, but I just don't think it's good enough to play.
Wow. I don't know. I don't really know. I think what's wildest about Paper Mario as it is now is how bewildering it is. Like, I don't know who it's for. I don't know why they make the decisions that they make in making it. Like, I get the urge to innovate and the urge to like differentiate it from its past, but it also feels like this formula, this weird platform puzzle action, very, very light RPG mechanic genre that they've worked out is like not especially well liked by anyone.
So here's what I wanted to mention. So after playing this, I did a little bit of research just because I hadn't played the other, like the more recent Paper Mario games because they got so critically like hammered. And I was looking back at it and the designer, when it like switched over, I think it was whatever that like transition game after Thousand Year Door happened, the designer was basically saying, there's a quote that I read that was basically, I wanted to make an RPG that had no experience points, no leveling up, and no items. And that was my goal. And I think the intention, if I had to guess, was to design an RPG that like very, very young kids could play. So like 6-year-old, 7-year-old kids could play. But I think even then, they are underestimating what kids are capable of. Like, I was pretty young when I played Super Mario RPG, which is one of the hardest of the Mario RPG games, and I was able to hack it, and some of that is like, yeah, hand it to my older brother who can like finish this part for me, but that's satisfying to like be able to finish a tough game. So
if that is the case though, and I want to celebrate stuff like that, I will say that the open world walking around, throwing around confetti and filling in holes is something my 5-year-old daughter actually really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So it was very easy for her to glom onto. But the slide puzzles were tough for me. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be able to explain to her, like, no, you just turn that. There was, I mean, literally, like, half the time I was like, I don't know. I you only get 30 seconds to do it, which drives me crazy.
Well, you can
like,
buy more. Just let me, you can buy more
you
time.
You can buy more time with money. But, like, but that's another thing where, like, it's similar to the degrading items. Just like, well, that's not fun. Like, I'm spending my money to buy more time. Like, I don't get a sense of satisfaction from that. Like, it's just, I don't know. And when you get one, it's not bad. Like, it feels pretty good. But like, to have to get additional time and you know, kids could that would be very tough for kids to do.
I think just to boil it down, like, it just doesn't have the, like, when we think of Nintendo Magic, and I think Luigi's Mansion 3 is like the best recent example of that. When we think of Nintendo Magic, this game does not have Nintendo Magic. It has like glimmers, like an outline of like moments of Nintendo Magic, but the core gameplay and the just everything, it just doesn't have that spark, which is a bummer because we do not get very many exclusive Nintendo games, and especially right now it is like a very clear schedule of no Nintendo games. So I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I guess to wrap it up, I've thought quite a bit about this, and Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 isn't as much of an RPG as I actually remember it. It's more of a series of mini games tied together by a time warping story mode that takes you back to the Olympics of 1964. So
sure,
I just want everybody to know that I take that back, but I still do recommend the game because it does have a time warping story mode set in 1964.
Wasn't that the Munich Olympics? God, I hope not. Anyway.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and catch up on our history. And then when we get back, we'll talk about literally anything else. Okay, this is a big question. Russ recommended this question. Welcome back, by the way. Russ recommended this question, and I think it's so good. And I want to talk about it for a very long amount of time, which is why we stopped talking about Paper Mario. Which Mario power-up would you genuinely want to eat and why? It's less about the powers and more about the flavor. Discuss.
Okay, so, and again, it's important, like, you're not going to eat the mushroom because it makes you big. You're going to eat the mushroom because, damn, that mushroom looks good. That's the like gist of it.
Okay, but oh God, this whole fucking question is built upon like I think an enormous, inescapable fallacy, which is the idea that Mario eats the power-ups to get their power.
He doesn't?
Because, okay, let's talk.
Okay, it makes sense with
mushroom. It makes sense with mushroom.
Mushroom, yes.
And then, end of list. My man doesn't eat flowers. He doesn't eat capes. He doesn't eat tanuki suits. He doesn't eat hammers. He doesn't eat shells. He doesn't eat boomerangs. He doesn't eat stars.
No, okay, yeah, but you're leaving out quite a few. You're leaving out dash peppers. You're leaving out double cherries. You're leaving out frogs.
Okay, I can get. You're leaving out ice skates. You're leaving out bells. You're leaving out. I think there's probably more.
Oh, hearts.
Metal caps.
Yeah.
I don't think he eats them, but...
Well, that's what I would say, is maybe that narrows it down for you, Griffin. Maybe you only have a few possible options, but...
I'm not sure it's a boring one. Okay, there's one I would eat. There's one I would eat that maybe I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the... that's a P-Wing. You dip that in some Frank's Red Hot. Oh, boy.
Ooh.
I would eat a P-Wing. I think a P-Wing... I think a P-Wing you could get through. And I think it would be challenging. Mm-hmm. I think there'd be some gristle in there. But I think I could probably finish myself a P-Wing.
What do you think? It's gamey?
I think it's like got bones.
Oh, okay.
I think P-Wings got bones.
Yeah, and they're like hunted for sport.
Whatever the P-Wing comes off of, I guess a pea. Yeah, we don't talk about that, huh?
What about like a tanuki suit?
That's a clothing. I don't want to eat the tanuki suit or the frog suit because it's like I'm not going to eat my pants and shirt and hat and gloves.
What if they're made of fruit roll-ups?
Well, yeah, okay. What if the fucking fire flower's made out of fruit roll-ups? This way, I could do that with anything.
But I think we could speculate. You know, I don't think the fire flower's made of fruit roll-ups. That would be ridiculous. But if you're talking about a suit, like something you could wear, certainly edible clothing exists.
Yeah. I feel like I'm being cross-examined right now. I have given my answer, and now I'm moving on.
Okay, Justin, do you have one?
Bee mushroom.
What?
That looks good. The bee mushroom from Galaxy. Mm. Remember, it's like a brown and yellow little confection with like, it looks like maybe a bit of honeycomb candy. It looks really tasty.
Isn't it like
tasty.
Furry? It has like the fur?
Maybe it's a little bit. It's like texturally, like looks furry, but that's just like to throw you off because it's like, it looks really good. I would absolutely eat a bee mushroom.
Do you think they're filled with honey or do you think it's like bees in there?
I think it's a crunchy honeycomb exterior, sort of like, have you ever had seafoam candy?
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, I'm thinking like seafoam candy exterior inside, just a choice honey.
Yeah. I wanted to call out mine, which is one of the forgotten Mario power-ups, and it is the three-up moon. Obviously, there's traditional Mario mushroom one-up, which I believe is green. The three-up moon is just a moon, but it gives you three lives. I always thought it tastes like astronaut ice cream. There's something like, right?
Is that because of its sort of celestial nature?
Yeah, that's part of it. And also just the color and the solidity of it. I feel like you just like munch off a side of it and your mouth would just be exploded with ice cream flavor.
Is Yoshi a power-up?
No, he's a creature. You can't enslave Yoshi and eat him.
No, sure.
Well, I guess that conflicts with my answer. So I assumed that we're in kind of like the movie Alive scenario, right? Like we're trapped on a mountain. Otherwise, like, why am I not just eating normal food, right? Like, it's like, like I'm in the middle of nowhere. Some malicious being named Russ is like, okay, you get one food item. It's from this list. And I'm like, what, you know, terrible dimension have I found myself in, right? So what I would choose is the double cherry. Because the double cherry, on top of just tasting good, it's cherry, right?
Good.
It also makes a copy of Mario. Now, people might say, no, it clones it clones whoever eats it. But I choose to believe that it just creates more Marios. So if I eat the double cherry, then I have a whole Mario to eat.
Oh, so it's like a prestige situation.
And there's no ethic. There's no like moral quandaries there. He's not even real.
Exactly. Like, I mean, honestly, it's the malicious god Russ's fault for putting me in this situation to begin with. The blood is on his hands.
Okay, so let me ask you. Let me first say that, like, even though I have put you in this situation, it's more like a buffet spread that's laid out in front of you. It's not like a malicious thing. It's really intended to be generous and my like being a benefactor to you.
Yeah, so I'd still do this and then eat Mario.
Now, the follow-up question I have is, the double cherry, how do you know that you're not the one being copied?
Oh, my God.
So you're saying, like, would I eat myself?
Oh, my God.
Well, every time you eat a double cherry, it makes a copy, but maybe you are the copy. Because it's copying over all your memories.
Shit. It has consciousness.
Huh.
So it's a 50-50 shot of whether you get eaten or not.
You know what I would do?
Mm.
I would ask myself, hey, what day were you born? And then the one who knows.
They would both know it's a literal, it's a copy. It's a sort of copy clone.
Got it. No, you know what I do is, okay, here, no. This makes sense, right? We'd keep eating the cherries until there was like 1,000 of me, right? And then like by the law of like copy machines, like, you know, you go to Kinko's, it would degrade. And then we would just, like the ones that are like, they don't even like know, you know, their fingers from their fist. We eat them because we know for a fact they are not real me.
Yeah.
So this would be like, what you're describing is you, Y-O-U, Gen X.
Wow. I hope that doesn't stay in the show.
It's a multiplicity situation.
It did. Jelani, what do you think? I feel like it did because it's very good. And, may I say, witty and urbane in a level that this show is not accustomed to.
Well, I think we did it, Fresh. Thanks for taking us down this road.
It's not
the road
I
expected to take in the morning.
Yeah, you absolute monster. Let's talk about some communique from the other side, from the listenership. Plant.
Yeah.
You have anything?
I got some questions. One second. We got this from Shelby. Do you consider Mario games like Paper Mario to be kids' games that are fun for adults or approachable games that kids could play? Who do you think the audience is, effectively? My husband and I were debating this while we played the other day.
Yeah, this sort of goes to what Justin was saying earlier, which is like, I think they are striving for a kids' game, but weirdly make it too complicated for kids to play. So it's kind of both.
I think Mario in general, if we're not talking about this specifically, we're talking about the franchise. Mm. I think what they're always striving for is the Pixar demo of like kids who are a little bit more refined plus adults who still have room for like some whimsy in their hearts. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that is the that is always the target for Mario games, or at least the best.
I mean, its design is specifically, you talked about, I want to make an RPG without items or levels or whatever. Like, it's explicitly trying to make an RPG for people who don't play RPGs because they are like not attracted to those specific mechanics. So like it is, I think it's easy to say like it's a younger audience, but I think more specifically it's people who don't play these types of games.
But love slide puzzles.
But fucking love slide puzzles. That's it, though. Like, it's so frustrating because they got it right already. They already did it right so many times. And the past three Paper Mario games have just not gotten it.
Question from Cassandra. Who do you think is more ruggedly handsome, Paper Mario or Dr. Mario?
Dr. Mario. Mario looks like... Paper Mario is nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I agree.
Paper Mario is nothing.
He's a little two-dimensional.
Also, Dr. Mario is a doctor.
Like, doctor.
Smart. You can have great conversations.
It should be noted that the Dr. Mario mobile game that's out right now has apparently given doctorates to every single character in the Mario universe, including Baby Bowser, who absolutely should not be a doctor.
Does not make sense.
Unless it's like a Doogie Howser situation, which is possible.
I mean, to be fair, Dr. Mario is a doctor who matches colors of pills and says, that should do it. Good. You should be fine now.
Well, he also does it very, very fast, Justin. Mm. So
that's true. Well, that's for his billing, so he can get it and see as many patients as possible.
Is he like reaching into someone's stomach and placing the pills himself? Is that what we're seeing?
I think it's a jar.
It's a jar. So it's a giant pill bottle. He's basically organizing his pills so he can get out there and get to work.
Well, I think he's like a research, like, scientist doctor who's like trying to find a cure for things. He's not actually putting the pills inside of
people. So he's putting the germs inside of them then, intentionally.
No, he doesn't touch people. Dr. Mario's bedside manner is fucking atrocious, and so he puts the germs in a bottle and then tries to kill them so he can come up with the cure. He doesn't interface with people at all.
Mm.
Wow.
Not like Dr. Waluigi, who has incredible bedside manner. He's actually my son's pediatrician, and he's very nice. See, you think that's what he's like, but that's just what he's like when he's fighting with his terrible brothers. Mm. But when he's with my son, and he's like, I've got to give you a little shot. And then he sings a little, he'll be like, Tura, Lura, Lura. And he's already given him the shot, and he doesn't cry.
And the spider-like limbs don't terrify your son?
he loves the spider limbs. Mm. He gets to hang things off of them.
Yeah,
he hangs toys and yeah.
Does he have like a prize? So patient. A prize chest that he can pick.
He's got a prize box. Yeah. He let my son take two prizes out of it last time. He's like, "Don't tell daddy." He's so sweet. I love him.
The prizes are all old TV guides
and empty cans of chewing tobacco. But still,
you're a galoid.
One final question.
You get the prize.
From M. Stanton. If everyone's made of paper, are books made of their flesh?
Oh, no. This is like a card situation, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Or kind of like a Necronomicon.
Mm, okay. So you're saying, are books made of flesh? Are there books in the Paper Mario universe? Like, have we seen books?
I believe I saw a bookshelf in somebody's house.
I mean, we do know that he does have confetti.
Oh.
So when he is throwing that, he's like, here you go, blood, skin. <Just throwing.
laughs> Having a
blood and skin and visceral.
Having a skin party. I smashed up at this Goomba and I took his skin.
Let me throw his blood right on you. Oh, there's an eyeball. Oops,
this is canonical.
Well, I think that wraps up our question segment of the show.
I mean, it's all ghoulish.
We should mention we are normally we would do like a what are we playing segment here. I don't know if there's any tiny things we can mention here, but we are going to be doing a big special next week about the best games you're not playing. So we're going to be highlighting a bunch of kind of deeper cut titles. But is there anything tiny that anyone wants to mention?
No, I've been playing Aria of Sorrow, Castlevania, Aria of Sorrow. I just did it. I built a Game Boy Advance SP, and Aria of Sorrow is like pound for pound maybe my favorite Castlevania game. I've played it like 10 times. It's like the first one with the soul capturing mechanic. Yep. And has like, it's like Symphony of the Night on Game Boy Advance. It absolutely kicks ass, this game.
Konami, I know you don't make video games anymore. I get it. It's fine. But, like, just re-release all those Castlevania Nintendo games because they're all friggin' awesome. I don't understand why Konami, why?
Dawn of Sorrow 2 on the DS is, like, exceptionally good. Yeah, those two in particular are, like, absolute classics that I think hold up much better than Symphony of the Night, and I do not think they get their recognition.
Even the lowest one, which is probably the first one that came out on Game Boy Advance, I forget.
Circle of the Moon is still pretty good.
They're all like eights and above, which is just outstanding for a series that was that consistently good. And we have not seen a release of any of them since they first came out, which is so weird.
I'm just gonna say we won't talk about it because we'll save it for next week, but people should play Carry On. It's coming out on the Switch and PC and maybe consoles, I think.
And we should say the game is carrying like a dead creature on the side of the road and not Carry On or
Carry On.
Yeah, not that.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it next week. But if people are waiting for us to talk about a game that we are extremely into, guess what? We'll be talking about a few of those next week. And I am really looking forward to it.
I'm so excited. That is going to do it for us. Make sure you follow and listen for free on Spotify, which you have likely done already, but it's still, we love it. If you want to get in contact with us, mail@besties.fan. I would say maybe if there's a real hot one that you played this summer that you think might have slipped under the radar, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe we'll also, you know, give it a look. Try to give it a little pitch, not just a name, like what is it? There's a lot to sort through, just not a lot of big games. Which is why we are where we are. At the Besties Pod is our Twitter address. And I think there's also a pinned tweet there where you can sign up for our mailing list. Right, Chris Plant? Is that correct?
Yes, there is. I recommend people do it.
Do it. Please help us share the show. Besties.fan is the link. But we have asked enough from you. So we will let you, we will release you back into the wild. Thank you so much for listening. And until next week, be sure to join us again next time for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
The Besties is a Spotify original podcast. in association with Fox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter and produced by Ben Hosley. And our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!